This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And joining us right now is Robert Parton. He's a Bronson Town Council seat number one. Robert, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. You're doing great.
It's nice to talk to you. You're currently on the city council, and you're running for re-election. April the 1st is the election. Now, you've been there. So what are the biggest challenges, you know, facing your portion of Levy County that we call Bronson?
Well, you know, we're kind of a bed and breakfast area for the city of Gainesville, of course. So we got a lot of people moving into the area and just preparing for the future because we're growing. We are growing, well, just like all the rest of the surroundings.
Well, I figured that. And with that, changing demographic, probably younger people, maybe family people, where there's still maybe some affordable housing and things like that. So they're going to make Bronson their home, possibly. How is that going to impact the town politically? In other words, you know, to be use frank language, are we getting people that, you know, are left of center moving in, changing the demographics?
Well, I think so, but, you know, we have different concepts and different ideas about what the future brings for us. Of course, we have to be ever mindful of about the money aspect of it, of course, and being able to afford what we can. But we also have to be prepared for the future, and the future is coming. It's coming.
Well, you know, look, infrastructure, I think you've already had some stresses out, you know, there as far as infrastructure goes. And now, like you said, if it continues to grow, you've got to make preparations for that. And your budget is only so much. So what is the plan moving forward? I guess I should ask, are you a pro-growth kind of guy?
Well, I am. You know, everybody wants to improve the quality of life for everybody. And that's one of my goals, is just to keep moving forward and trying to accomplish and better, you know, better Bronson. That's the way I look at it. And just whatever we can do that we can afford, you know, the it all boils down to how it impacts the taxpayers and what we can do with what we have.
Now, I know you
being able to make. Making good, smart decisions is what it all involves.
I know you rely on, for law enforcement, Levy County Sheriff's Office, but do you pay attention to crime statistics within the city of Bronson? And if so, are there positive changes, or with growth, are you seeing a little bit more crime?
Well, you know, yes. Anytime you have growth, you're going to have that. So, but we work hand-in-hand with the Sheriff's Department here, and Sheriff McCallum has done a great job and helped us, you know, and I mean, he's just a phone call away, and having their office right here in Bronson, we have an advantage over the rest of the county when it comes to that. So that is one financial advantage we have. So it's to avoid a city police department is just unquestionable at this point in time.
What about, you know, when you talk about this growth, yeah, people are going to be moving to Florida. There's no stopping that. But what about building up, you know, businesses, light manufacturing? Are you working or trying to partner up with anybody and say, hey, Bronson would be a great place to locate your business? And are you reaching out to people? Are you getting any interest in maybe people locating their business there?
Yes, we have. And we are working with our local, you know, people that reach out to people. We have grants that are, taking place right now as we speak to improve our infrastructure. We are also looking at expanding, you know, annexing out some to accommodate some of this. There's all kind of things in the works right now, especially we're in a growth spurt right now, so... Again, we're working diligently to accomplish these goals, but also to be able to do it, you know, some physically conservative mode. So we don't overspend ourselves and get in a tight place.
Right on.
You can do very quickly.
Robert Parton, we appreciate your time and good luck in the April 1st election, because we're going to switch over to talk to Tyler Voorhees, who is here in the studio. Now, you've got Robert Parton. He is wants to continue work at seat number one or district one. Tyler Voorhees right now is in district five on the town council. And good morning, Tyler. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. How you doing today? I'm doing great.
So this is great. You've got kind of a balance, if you will, on the council. You're the young guy, you know, maybe some young, fresh ideas, a different viewpoint, fresh blood. Tell me about some of the things you want to do. I know I see the gym listed here and also the budget as a concern.
Yes. You know, one of the main things that's going on right now in the town is everybody's in an uproar over the old gymnasium that used to belong to the old Bronson High School. And they were wanting the town to take it over, or maybe a private organization to keep it in the community for the kids to use. And my stance on it was, I would love to save it, you know, if it was feasible. The town of Bronson's budget's $2.5 million for the entire thing, and that gym, with purchasing it and renovations, you're looking at easily $1 million. I mean, you're talking almost half of our budget to go to one thing, and it's just not feasible for us, something that we could do right now.
Yeah, unless you've got a great partnership with somebody, unless you've got a lot of grants coming your way, you've got people that can organize and raise funds to do something like that, you're saying, hey, fiscally, look, we've got $2.5 million. How much could you devote to the gym? Not enough to really do it right, for sure. What about growth and annexation? You plan on annexing some of the surrounding areas and making Bronson bigger?
Yes, sir. I would like to personally, with our former town manager, me and her worked on getting the survey process started on annexing towards Williston out on State Road 27, where there's going to be a lot more commercial properties available, because I think that would definitely help our tax base and just help be able to improve our infrastructure. And if we can get utilities and stuff out that way, I think that's going to be most beneficial to the town.
What's your population approximately out there?
I'm going to say around 1,100.
Okay. All right. So would you say that the people that live there are somewhat active, not so active, or what would you gauge it in terms of their interaction with government in general?
You know, unless there's a real controversial issue going on, our town hall meetings are usually pretty empty. You may have one or two public members that are not employed with the town. But, you know, when a controversial issue comes up, like the gym or anything, then it's a packed house. But throughout the rest of the year, you know, very slim. One to two people maybe in the audience.
What do you see as, you know, moving forward with growth, like Robert talked about? But, you know, what are the other challenges, or including growth, that you're going to face if you're reelected on April 1st?
Growth is definitely one. There's people moving up left and right. There's land getting cleared and houses going up. We have one subdivision possibly going in the town of Bronson right now. They're doing some homes working. And they're going to build 53 homes right off of Main Street. And but growth is definitely one. But we got to have controlled growth. If you get sporadic with it, that's when stuff starts to get messy. I'm all for growth. Growth is how you got to maintain life. But you got to have it controlled. Infrastructure is definitely one of our main things that we're going to have to work on. We have an older water system that's fading. We have quite a few water leaks that happen. But our public works department is very diligent in getting that fixed and trying to keep our customers on. So it's just that's infrastructure and growth is definitely one of our two main things we have going on right now.
Well, all right. Between the two, you definitely covered the basis in Bronson. We appreciate your time on the air. We wish you both the best in the upcoming election, April the 1st. All right. If you live in Bronson, April the 1st, make sure you get out and vote. Tyler, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob.
That's Tyler Voorhees. And before him, we had Robert Parton on. And you are listening to News Talk 97.3 The Sky. You're kidding about this only being Tuesday, right? Is that a bad joke?
No, it's only Tuesday.
Not funny.
That's why we're talking trash.
Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Florence Recycling, indeed is underway. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check, it's 8:20, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I like the good news. I like talking about $21 billion invested in the U.S. by Hyundai. Part of it being $5.8 billion for a Louisiana steel mill. Making America great. Producing jobs. Getting the economy fired up. I love it. But then you've got wrenches in the operation. You've got some of these district judges creating problems for the Trump administration and deportations. You got that going on.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is what, it is a big story, but is it really a national security issue per se? And that is the fact that this Jeffrey Goldberg from the Atlantic publication was in on what should have been a extremely private exchange of information on an app called Signal. And you've got encryption there, so that protects against hacking. But if you actually invited somebody into the Signal app, you know, it's sent to their computer. Mm-hmm. Would you like to join this call in progress? Yes, I would. And that's what happened. The editor-in-chief of the anti-Trump The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, was reportedly added to a group chat with Trump cabinet members and other top officials that was created by National Security Advisor Mike Waltz to coordinate potential United States military strikes against Houthis 2 days before they happened. The guy, Jeffrey Goldberg, thought, is this some kind of spoof? Like, why would he get invited to that?
Right.
He knows he's not supposed to be privy to that. He probably figured that out fairly quickly.
Sure.
And then was probably intrigued by it. And then eventually he disconnected from it, which should have sent notice to the National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz, that, hey, somebody has left the conversation.
Right.
You know, similar to the whole Zoom thing, all things like that we've done before.
Right.
So what happened? Now, here's my take on it. I believe that the infrastructure and things are laid out, say, like in the White House, from an IT perspective. And I think that Jeffrey Goldberg, his connection was a leftover from the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. That's where I think it came from, because out of the blue, tell me what the odds are that if you're going to randomly allow somebody in this conversation by accident,
right,
what are the odds that it would be one of the most anti-Trump people running one of the most anti-Trump publications, The Atlantic?
And like, he and Mike Waltz have chats on a regular basis?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I think it's a leftover thing. Now, could IT be involved nefariously in that? It's possible. Look, anything is possible when we've seen the weaponization of government. All the way from Lois Lerner, slow-walking applications for the Tea Party members to have their tax-exempt status, to the FBI agents and attorneys for the FBI that were exchanging texts that were anti-Trump, to say the least. So we've seen it. We've seen the weaponization. We've seen an agenda. See, people on the left, it used to be, oh, you've got your ideas and philosophies, I've got mine, but you wouldn't let that interfere with what you do, or you wouldn't do anything illegal. I mean, you could get in trouble for that. You know, Watergate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Are they weaponizing this? Are there some IT people that aren't operating completely above board? That's just something I'm throwing out there, because you have to try to make sense of how this was the guy. This was the guy that they accidentally connected with. Now, you want to point to National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. I doubt that Mike himself is actually sitting there setting up the chat room or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I would think he probably has people
right
to line that up.
Right.
Hey, you know who's on the list. Now, did that person make a mistake? It's
could
possible.
Be.
Yeah.
Could be.
But, I mean, this is who was on it. Pretty much everybody except Trump. You had the vice president on there. You had Tulsi Gabbard, John Ratcliffe, head of the CIA, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. You had Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, United States Special Envoy of the Middle East Steve Witkoff, House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, Stephen Miller, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And little old Jeffrey Goldberg listening in.
Yeah.
From the Atlantic. Huh. The group chat was called Houthi PC Small Group, with PC meaning Principals Committee, a reference to the group of top decision makers from each agency during National Security Council meetings. Waltz reportedly sent the following message out on March 13th. Team, establishing a principal group for coordination on Houthis, particularly over the next 72 hours. My deputy, Alex Wong, is pulling together a tiger team at deputy's agency chief of staff level, following up from the meeting in the situation room this morning for action items that we'll be sending that out later this evening. All right. So, you know, coordinate, get ready for your team to coordinate with us over the next couple of days and over the weekend, etc. Hmm. So this information was supposed to be privy only to those on the receiving end, and Jeffrey Goldberg was not supposed to be part of that. Democrats are going to take this opportunity to go completely over the top.
Oh, yeah.
And say it's doom and gloom and national security issues and all that. Schumer's already saying things along those lines. It is ridiculous and mm-hmm. over the top. Now, is it a concern? Absolutely. Does it need to be addressed? Yep. I don't think you need to do a full investigation, but I'm not necessarily against that. They do have to determine what the heck.
Yeah, who actually put it together? Who physically put in the contacts for this little chat, and who would be able to read them? Yeah.
So,
who is it?
Yeah, I think it's somebody that was on a, you know, an older list, so mm-hmm. to speak. Which kind of begs the question too, like how privy was he during uh-huh. the Democrats' reign?
Whose chat was he a part of?
Uh huh.
Uh huh. Why yeah. is he even in the system?
And why on Signal? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Why is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show? Greg Cassidy is here, and FBI on a frenzied mission of redaction. I'll tell you what that is all about coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. Good morning. Welcome. Yeah. Another gorgeous day. My goodness, are we blessed or what? It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got a lot to talk about now. This administration, like many administrations, they use that word transparent. Uh-huh. So kids growing up aren't really sure what it means anymore. It used to be like, you know, see-through. You could see right through it. In other words, we have nothing to hide. We're open. But it doesn't seem like, you know, both Republican and Democrat administrations have been, well, less than transparent. But we think all that's going to change with the Trump administration, and in many ways, I think it will. But I don't know, will it in all ways? Here's my question. Trump, transparent. Hey, release the Epstein files. Okay, I like it. But wait, hold on. The FBI has got to go through it all to redact some of it. Well, what's the use in releasing this material if you're going to do a bunch of redacting? Now, I guess if an investigation points to somebody that really wasn't there or didn't participate, but they get mentioned in a report, I guess that could be problematic, but, I mean, did that happen? Why does it have to be redacted? Isn't redaction always done as an act of protection? Right? You're protecting somebody, or most likely you're protecting somebody. Either something that was reported they said or did. Why do they have to redact all this? The FBI, is it going to hurt the feelings of Jeffrey Epstein? No. He was scum vermin, and he's dead. So that's not a factor and shouldn't be. But the FBI is working overtime on what they call a frenzied mission to redact the Epstein files before they're released to the public. They are reviewing documents and other evidence related to the investigation in order to make redaction. Now, some redactions, I guess, could be made if some of the victims have never gone public. You'd want to protect their names. And I don't know, I have no idea how many that could be. A lot of them did go public, but I'm pretty certain not all of them did. So, yes, would you want to protect them? When it's a crime of a sexual nature or whatever, generally we do. We don't release those names. But save for that, what else would you be redacting? Trump promised transparency. And, of course, there's a lot of public interest in the whole Epstein thing. Well, his death was rather odd, shall we say. One of the highest security installations, and somehow he's able to hang himself. Okay. All right. Anything's possible. But, I think people would like to know what the heck. Some agents have been asked to momentarily set aside other investigations to help complete the redactions. Others have worked on the project all weekend in the Washington field office. Under Attorney General Bondi's leadership, DOJ is working relentlessly to deliver unprecedented transparency for the American people, so says a spokesperson from DOJ to CNN. All appropriate administrative and legal requirements are being adhered to. So all week, agents have been filing into a room at FBI headquarters where they sat for hours at banks of computers using editing software to identify redactions required under federal laws, including the Privacy Act. Other FBI agents were seen heading into the agency's field offices in New York and Virginia to work on the redaction project. And the move comes after influencers received Epstein files in a binder last month, resulting in criticism from the public as the documents were underwhelming and contained information that was already publicly available. But the DOJ and the FBI officials reportedly believe the second bunch of files that are set to be released in the coming days will not include any bombshells. All right, so it won't, again, no bombshells in any of this stuff? Then I'm missing something.
Disappointing? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's got to be a there.
Did they change the belief that this guy was behind, bringing all these young women, some girls to this island?
Right.
Where all sorts of illegal activities had taken place. And now all of a sudden there's no bombshells. There's, we're busy redacting. What?
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and Jerry, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Having done investigations in the past, before files are released, it's got to go through the agency's Office of Chief Counsel, and then it's also got to be redacted because some of the reasons are, as you said, the Privacy Act, victims that were not previously disclosed. Also, investigative methods and means. They might have had a confidential informant in there, an undercover agent in there that they'd used to advance the investigation against Epstein, subpoenas that were serviced, agents' names, and things of that nature. So if they have an ongoing case, it's many thousands of pages. It could conceivably and legitimately take a good deal of time to painstakingly make sure that all of that information is kept secret.
Do you think anything big, so to speak, is going to come out of this? Any really big names and stories that are gross?
I think there might be a couple of interesting eyebrow raises, but I don't think there's going to be any bombshells, my personal opinion. But I think, you know, you might say, oh, that person, oh, this person. But I think it is what it was. And I think that a lot of that stuff, people felt well to insulate themselves even from investigation, because if they were going to be charged, they would have already been charged.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. Powerful people, I mean.
Yeah.
Look, are you telling me Hillary Clinton shouldn't have been charged when she destroyed all those files and all the other things that she did?
Hey, we watched the hearing, and he sat there and described every reason that she should have been. And we were blown away when he said, oh, but, however.
No reasonable prosecutor would take this on.
No, you just given us every reason, and you laid it out for us.
Well, apparently John Ratcliffe, who's the director of the CIA, has now come out and said, absolutely, right straight directly from Obama to the DOJ, do not prosecute Hillary.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's not hard to believe, because what else would be the reason behind it? Yep. All right. President Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security sending notice to more than 500,000 migrants who entered the United States under Biden's parole pipeline, self-deport or you'll be deported. And this is a lot of people. I mean, 500,000, right? 532,000. These are the ones that, the parole, you're on parole, but you're free to roam around the country. Well, a crazy way to, the Biden administration, they got exactly what they wanted. It wasn't by accident. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, Tony, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And one thing that dawned on me is, like, we already have laws on the books for immigration and for the things with Epstein. They're not being enforced. The one thing about the Epstein that people forget, he had a house in New York. He had this place in Florida. He had some kind of ranch out. I want to say it was Arizona or something. The FBI has got videotape. They have hard physical evidence. I don't really want to see the report. I want to see people perp walked and going to jail. I want to see them fight it out in court. And that's the one thing, again, like I said earlier, we already have laws against this illegal immigration. We have it against sex trafficking, against human trafficking. It's not being enforced. And then, ippity-doo, the people that are actually against both of those situations are either being paid to do it or they were part of it. So I want to see people, Bob, perp walk. As you and I both know, we've been down this road. It's probably never going to happen. That's my thought.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, our only hope is, with all the people that are in there in cabinet positions and Pam Bondi, she's pretty tough. So you'd think if it's ever going to happen, it will happen under this administration or probably not happen at all. But we can hope, right? All right. Troubling financial situation that many people just recently become aware of with a local school board and their funding. I'll explain next on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:45 and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Good morning and welcome. And thanks for listening. The Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast, including the Audacy app, AUDACY. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. March 14th, a workshop school board, Alachua County get together. And what did they learn? That they will receive $6.5 million less than anticipated from the state in the current fiscal year.
Ooh.
With another $8 million reduction in the next fiscal year. What happened?
Wow, that's a lot of bucks.
Assistant superintendent, I've got this, by the way, from our friends at the Alachua Chronicle, Jennifer Cabrera, and Assistant Superintendent for Finance, Gabriel Jeremchuk, told the board that the most recent, being the third apparently, calculation from the state resulted in a loss of $6.5 million in funding compared to the second calculation. How can these calculations be so far off? I mean, we are dealing with educators. Calculate how many kids are here. An additional challenge is that the budget for the current fiscal year, general fund expenditures, exceed revenues by $33.2 million, largely due to declining enrollment and reduced funding levels. I am missing something here. So they're getting a bunch of money taken away. There was some improper calculations of students, and we're talking millions of dollars, and general fund expenditures exceed revenues by $33.2 million? What?
Wow.
That doesn't sound good at all.
And how does that happen overnight? It probably couldn't.
Well, they say they can make up some of the fund balance with reserves, capital fund transfers. Fund balance is projected to decline throughout the year. It began at 11.55% of general funds, now at 4.41, not counting transfers from the general fund, unassigned balance for summer services and staff raises, which will further reduce the ratio.
Interesting.
So state funding reduction apparently is from a combination of students leaving traditional or charter schools and using family empowerment scholarships. So this right to be able to choose has impacted, you know, the public school system. But didn't they plan for this? I mean, how could you be caught almost by surprise, it seems, unless I'm missing something here, right? Mm-hmm. In Alachua County alone, more than $38 million in public education funding was diverted to FES scholarships in 24 and 25. Many of those students were never enrolled in public schools, meaning we are losing funding without a corresponding reduction in cost. So they must have moved here and went immediately into a non-traditional school and used that funding. So they never got credit for being a public school student.
Right.
So that's part of it, right? Yet they still have to take that money. They have to deduct that money to give to the student. Reduced student counts will make it increasingly difficult to sustain current staffing levels, programs, and student services. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it seems like there's some similarities between that and if you're running a business. And you know when you have students enrolled, some of them could leave, so you have to factor that in. But I mean, at the beginning of the year, you have a pretty good number, I would think, to figure out what your needs are going to be. How can they be so far off? And I don't know. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody because
there's more questions than answers
exactly.
for you at the moment right now.
Yeah. I mean, they're overspending, agreed. They're on a path that's unsustainable. Yeah, that sounds right to me. They are.
Yeah.
What exactly are the steps they're going to take? What are they going to do? Think outside the box? Maybe. It is 8:56 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. That means the 9 o'clock stretch is right around the corner. All right, stay tuned. And don't forget, Saturday, March 29th, 9 to noon, we're going to get together and support Trump and Musk at the Tesla Service Center on Main Street. That's this Saturday, 9 to noon. We'll see you out there. Wave some flags. We'll have some fun. All right?